I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? Permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour space station social. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Laredo to Louisiana, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA, everything.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team that Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Big show coming up for you this morning. We've got Brandon League, former Major League Baseball All-Star reliever. He'll join us coming up here on the show in hour number 4. We'll talk to Brandon about baseball players getting back to work, proposed plan to get the season back in the swing of things, and the types of challenges that might await baseball players, specifically pitchers, when we do resume baseball. So Brandon League, former closer, Major League Baseball All-Star, is going to join us coming up here on the show. Also, we've got an inspirational story, which I find very important right now these days. Good news is vital. Good news is needed. We've got a young man by the name of Bryce Weiler, and Bryce was born blind. He also has been a sportscaster. Indeed, he has been a color commentator for college basketball and minor league baseball, and I'm thrilled for him to share his story. He's going to join us coming up here on the show in about an hour from now, so stick around. I think we could all use some inspirational stories of people doing great things, and Bryce is certainly one of those people. He's also battling for those with disabilities at baseball ballparks and stadiums, sports stadiums across the country. So his battle is a worthy one. We'll talk to Bryce coming up here on the show in about an hour from now. Meantime, we also are stunned to a news this morning on the show. Is Jameis Winston a fit in Pittsburgh? Would teams try to hack Zoom draft meetings in the NFL? We've got a great hypothetical when it comes to Carmelo Anthony's career. The Falcons released their new uniforms, this date in mothership history, and last night, the final episode of Modern Family, we ask about the legacy of Al Bundy. All of that coming up this morning on the show. You want to jump into any of those topics? We can do so on the phones. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can hit us up, DA on CBS. Follow me there. And then also tweet at me, DA on CBS. Got to begin with Tom Brady joining Howard Stern yesterday. There was a lot of anticipation for this interview, a long-form sit-down interview with Howard Stern for Tom Brady would absolutely give us some clarity, shine a light on some things, obviously, that we did not know, right? Howard is known as one of the greatest interviewers ever, if not the greatest, in a long-form setting outside of the sports stratosphere, would absolutely shed some light on something. Brady must be going there to take shots at Bill Belichick, must be going there to uncover some dirt, must be going there to get things off of his chest, right? Why else would Tom Brady line up an interview and a long-form sit-down to the guy known throughout his career as getting more, sometimes embarrassingly so, raw conversations out of celebrities, stuff that you would never hear elsewhere? Yeah, not really. Brady didn't go into yesterday wanting to empty the bucket on the Patriots' secrets. He didn't go into yesterday with Howard Stern looking for vengeance against Bill Belichick. He wasn't looking to expose secrets and dirt and skeletons out of the closet of his career. Tom Brady went there to be Tom Brady. He was pleasant. He was not angry. He was happy. He was even keel. He gave us a few anecdotes about working hard and his career, a little bit of here, a little bit there of not being the starting quarterback in Michigan, working harder. I mean, I think that the extent of things maybe we did not know that could even crawl into the space of woe is that Giselle wrote him a personalized letter a couple of years ago saying that basically he wasn't pulling his weight as a dad, that he was too consumed in football, and that's when Brady decided to take stock of things and not be present for OTAs for the Patriots and work out in his own in the preseason. But that's about the extent of it. Waiting for Brady to shoot from across the bow at Belichick clearly was not part of his inclination to do this interview. To me, hearing the normal Brady platitudes, the normal Brady speak, was really more about Tom Brady views himself as more celebrity these days than I think football player. You know, when Tom Brady does a Facebook series, Tom versus Time, when Tom Brady does things like have a ad campaign during the Super Bowl, when Tom Brady sits down with Howard Stern or sits courtside at basketball games, he does appear to be doing things he wasn't really allowed to do as a Patriot, or at least not until recent vintage. And so I think there's just an element now of Brady, instead of sitting down with Jim Gray, it's, let me sit down with Howard Stern. I'm important enough now to do that. And he probably always was, but these days, going to Tampa provides a certain freedom. And now he gets to do these types of things. But it really wasn't ever about, I'm going to tell things out of school. I'm going to tell things nobody's ever heard from me. It's just, here's a platform that's bigger than sports, and I'm bigger than sports now. So here's a question that I have. Considering there was no gotcha moments, crazy quotes, nothing really all that notable, number one, I ask this question. Do you think Howard Stern's disappointed by the interview? Number two, was there anything Brady uncovered that we didn't know? I mean, anything? It is where we begin your cold open.
2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I got to take care of things in my family because my family, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage. I never cared about legacy. I mean, I could give a shit about. I never once when I was in high school said, man, I can't wait for what my football legacy looks like. It's just not me. That's not my personality.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That audio courtesy of the Howard Stern Show on Sirius XM Radio. I think, number one, I don't think Howard Stern and his crew is disappointed by the interview because they got a lot of attention from it. And I think Brady was kind of as honest as Brady can be. But I do think there's got to be a part of them that said, boy, that's about the least illuminating interview that you're ever going to find us do, because Howard gets everybody to admit something that they didn't admit before except Tom Brady, because he's so used to doing this. You know, it's different than a celebrity who just is asked the same series of questions about their movie or upcoming television series on some type of late night talk show or on a daytime talk view type show, or when they do those kind of like little round tables with a bunch of different journalists or reporters for TV outlets about their new movie for about 3 minutes, those press junkets. Tom Brady sits there with a press conference and has an assembled media try to ask him prying questions every single week, multiple times a week. He is steeled in answering questions a certain way. He's not going to break. These other celebrities aren't used to that. So I think from that standpoint, the Howard Stern Show has to be at least a little disappointed that he is just so in that mode that he can't really go outside of that. That stuff about his marriage is a little illuminating, but that's not really a football thing. It's more of his marriage thing, and that's not really all that interesting to sports fans such as ourselves. So I do think there's got to be slight disappointment, although they got a lot of attention for it, trending on Twitter, etc. A lot of news reports, not a lot of news coverage. I think the secondary part, was there anything that we didn't know? The only thing that I would kind of cite was that last quote that we had there, that he could give a bleep about legacy. And that's somewhat enlightening, because he's saying something that either he doesn't believe or his actions have shown otherwise, and he's tricked himself into believing it. What I mean by that is, I don't give a damn about legacy. Of course he does. I just cited the Tom versus Time Facebook miniseries. It's about Tom Brady defying something that has taken down every professional athlete ever, and that is Father Time. He has made a brand and has built a reputation that he's constantly striving for and to tell everybody about, which is my diet, my behavior, my lifestyle is allowing me to do something no one's ever done before. Play quarterback until 45. That's been a stated goal for 10 years now. That's a legacy project. Of course, he wants to keep playing football, yes, but he's telling everybody how he's doing it. He's pushing the lifestyle through a book. He has a company that is devoted and built and founded around a lifestyle plan. Of course, that's a legacy. Of course, that's leaving behind or building what you want your lasting reputation beyond football to be. That is the definition of legacy. So I don't know if Brady doesn't realize that's what it is. I think he does, and that's just kind of that's the right answer. I don't give a damn about legacy, even though ultimately he obviously does. I guess if you admit that, it's vain, and he doesn't want to admit that. But that's the only thing that was enlightening was, do you really believe that all of this stuff is not about your legacy, or are you kind of willingly just saying the right thing because you've just been trained to do that a million times over? Of course you care about legacy. It's been your focus for the last 8 years, challenging the notion that a quarterback had to retire by a certain age and then telling everybody how you did it and selling it.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Two-parter here, Mraz. Number one, start here. You think Howard Stern was disappointed by the interview yesterday?
No, I do not. I disagree with you there, because I don't think Howard Stern goes into it looking for a sports interview. Howard Stern is not going to ask him about Deflategate or Spygate or know to prime about Bill Belichick. That's not what you're not what you're getting and going into with a Howard Stern interview. And I do think he got some interesting personal stuff out of Tom Brady, so I don't think he could be disappointed, no.
But he is one of the most well-researched interviewers ever. He obviously knows there's a Belichick-Brady thing. He might not know a lot about sports, but he knows that Brady leaving the Patriots is a big deal. So getting out why he left, getting out if there was a rift between him and Belichick, is obviously something that Howard Stern was hoping to uncover, or at least something personal that somebody would go, wow, that about Tom Brady? And they didn't get that.
See, I think the marriage stuff about why he missed OTAs is a wow moment, because they give this, you know, impression that they are now the perfect, you know, family up in Massachusetts with these homes, and hearing things like Giselle, him admitting that Giselle told him he's not pulling his weight at home and that things got dark there, and that's why he missed OTAs, a moment where he was crushed when he's riding camels. I think that's a wow moment. I do. And I think that's the kind of thing that Howard Stern is looking for in a Howard Stern interview, is getting to know Tom Brady, the personal Tom Brady. Now, there's stuff that I'm sure Howard Stern's not disappointed with that we already knew. Like when Tom Brady says he knew that he'd be leaving the Patriots before the season, and that kind of made headlines. Well, everybody kind of has already heard that or believed that. Or Tom Brady drinks a couple hundred ounces of water that, you know, wowed Howard Stern, when, again, we know how much that Tom Brady talks about how much water he drinks. So as well-researched as Howard Stern is, I think there's some personal stuff that Howard Stern was pleased with that I think – on one hand, we didn't know, and on other hands, we kind of knew already.
Well, here's the only thing about whether it's a wow moment that Giselle was frustrated that maybe Tom Brady was too focused on football. It fits his narrative that he is so consumed by the football that, of course, there would be a moment in time where he would have to back off of that, that he would be challenged about just how much you are consumed by it. I don't know how much of that is a wow. If I told you, here's A and B, either Tom Brady was A, so consumed by football, Giselle told him to knock it off, or B, Tom Brady kind of stopped caring about football along the way, and it was happy-go-lucky. I mean, everybody would choose, of course, A, he's so consumed by it, it's crazy.
Yeah, but there's being consumed by it and hearing what Giselle's actually telling him. I don't know. I found that very, very fascinating to me, especially when they come off doing that Facebook series and everybody, oh, look at Tom Brady, what a family man. And there's him giving in detail his wife on what he wasn't doing. And it wasn't so much so you're playing football too much. It was more what you're not contributing at home, that angle.
Okay, so then part B, that is, did he uncover anything that we did not know? You're saying that the rift in the marriage was the thing that you felt like, wow, I had no idea about that.
Yes, 100%, because I think that also sheds light to, if Tom Brady is not perfect at home, you know, I think that could help people. I really do. And I thought that was a little hair down. And I also think uncovering anything we didn't know, maybe not necessarily by question, but by personality, in when Tom Brady takes that two-hour setting and he's cursing and he's really letting his hair down, Tom Brady to me, and I'm sure has come across to others, has actually come across as not one of the guys, as maybe too stuck up. And Tom Brady to me yesterday sounded like a guy that could be on a construction site, which, say what you want to say, and maybe that's not suitable for work kind of deal, but Tom Brady came across to me as more normal yesterday than I previously now had thought and had this painted picture in my mind of.
Well, that is the value of a Howard Stern interview, is that he does get to the humanity of just about everybody that he interviews and makes them have to take their defense mechanisms down. So I would agree with you there, but I think that Brady is so polished at the public interview for having done it for so many years and saying the right thing, that even yesterday, what amounted to the wow, he let his hair down moments was not that crazy compared to 99% of Howard's other interviews.
That's where I will agree with you. I think if we're talking about all of Howard's interviews, yeah, I don't think it's the most revealing. I think this is mainly revealing because it's Tom Brady, and we don't hear Tom Brady in this setting, and we don't really hear Tom Brady, you know, trying to unbutton even a little bit, and that's what we got. So that's why I don't think Howard Stern is disappointed by it. But if we're talking about the grand spectrum of all-time Howard Stern interviews, no, this is making waves because we don't hear from Tom Brady like this.
Right. Stern put out his book of all-time interviews not long ago, and I would say if the Tom Brady interview happened within the span of that book, it does not make that book.
I think that's fair. I would not disagree with you there. I just think the overwhelming spectrum of things I didn't know or things that the average person didn't know, I do think we got some of that, at least some of that. And to me, when Howard Stern's not a sports guy, not looking to do a sports interview, looking to do a more human interview, that's why I don't think he's disappointed with it.
Okay. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, or on Twitter, follow me and tweet at me there, DA on CBS. When we come back, we talked a lot about the Buccaneers' new uniforms yesterday. The Falcons dropped theirs. Did they make their uniforms even worse with the redesign? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. There's so many ways you can listen to the DA Show. Why not check us out on one of our hundreds of radio affiliates nationwide and north of the border across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. Also on SiriusXM, channel 206 every morning, starting at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 a.m. Pacific. Also, you can listen to us, use the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. And you can watch us at watchda.com. And you can also tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in about 14 minutes from now, last night, the final episode ever of Modern Family. And, of course, one of the stars of Modern Family, Ed O'Neill, who used to play Al Bundy, maybe most famous for Al Bundy from Married with Children. And the question is, did Ed O'Neill need Modern Family to cement his legacy, or was Al Bundy enough? And the reporter in Blue Chips. We are asking you that question. Also, we start in Dutch, I believe. We are asking that question coming up here on the show in about 15 minutes from now. But yesterday, the Falcons unveiled their new redesign. This is kind of funny. The Buccaneers unveiled their redesign 2 days ago, and on the same day, the Falcons' new jerseys leaked. Somebody had the chance to take some pictures of them from a photo shoot, leaked them, and suddenly the Falcons were like, uh-oh, we better get this out now. So they did, and the world was largely underwhelmed. You know, here was the thing. They missed a golden opportunity here to at least get the helmets back to red. The best Falcons uniforms ever were the ones that a young Deion Sanders wore back in the late 80s, early 90s. Red Falcons helmet, black Falcon, and a kind of white, silver, red, white and silver jersey with red numbers. It's a beautiful jersey. It pops on the screen. It sparkles in the sunlight. It's gorgeous. Secondarily, the next best uniforms were the all-black Deion uniforms, Andre Rison uniforms from the 90s, the Dirty Birds. They then redesigned in the aughts, and they've been garbage. Let's face it, they've just looked like garbage because the Falcons have such a cool logo, and they have such cool color scheme, and yet their jerseys and uniforms have never been that cool. So they redesigned them yesterday, and somehow they made them worse. It's kind of amazing. The best ones they have out of this mix are their throwbacks, the Dirty Bird ones. Those are very clearly the best uniform combinations they have. But they tried to do a gradient, which we just learned from the Jaguars a couple of years ago, is stupid. It goes from black bottoms to a red jersey, but it fades in between at the waist. I mean, my goodness, how bad is that going to look on a couple of defensive linemen? Could you imagine? Also, they've got an all-white ensemble, which is just kind of lame, but it's all very obviously not as cool as it could have been, and they put ATL on the front, which now makes them look like the Atlanta Hawks, like they need a three-letter symbol of their city on their front. I mean, all over, it was just a disappointingly didn't take the opportunity to really do it right. And I tweeted out a better redesign that I found somebody do, which was Julio Jones, but in an all red.
So it was a red helmet, black Falcon, and then a red jersey. And it just, it is so gorgeous. It is so cool. And again, they just kind of like the Bucks. It's fine. It's not great, but at least the Bucks improved. You can absolutely say the Bucks improved from their Nike pukes. This, Mraz, I don't know. I mean, if it's an improvement, I don't really see it. If it's a push, I don't really see it. To me, they're probably worse than where they were, and where they were not that cool.
It is so refreshing that we can agree on a uniform take a day after disagreeing on the creamsicles. This bothered me so much that I went down a rabbit hole of clicking through basically Google images for a good portion of last night, and I have come to this conclusion, and this is Mraz's hot quarantine sports take of the day here.
Okay.
They now have the worst uniforms in all of the four American major sports with these redesigns.
Oh, dear. I can't go that far. They're the worst.
Listen, you have too much time right now during the show to think about this, but I want an answer tomorrow morning on Friday's show. They are the worst. Why did they go with that gradient faded color? They remind me exactly of, you know, when you go to a Champs sporting goods store in a mall in the late 90s and early 2000s, and FUBU used to have those faded jerseys that people used to wear in high school that they would think is cool, and it's just, it's not. There's nothing cool about it. They look like an Arena League team that Schwartz would be begging for a free jersey from. That's exactly what they look like now. The ATL, the Hawks have already done it, and they've done it kind of better, and I understand that's kind of branding like the Miami Marlins instead of the Florida Marlins, but top to bottom, everything about it, they might as well be in the show Playmakers. It's an utter disgrace.
Well, the gradient uniforms are just absolute trash, and they, you know, it's funny because whenever they do uniform redesigns, it's always done with the most athletic looking guys on the team, so
right.
Cornerbacks or running backs or what have you. They never bring out the defensive lineman or offensive lineman. When an offensive lineman has this gradient and his fat butt is one color and it fades into a different color around his gut and around his waist, it's going to be an absolute nightmare. So that's going to look terrible. Like, Julio Jones will be able to pull it off somewhat, but everybody else is going to look terrible. But it's obvious, right? Aren't the best jerseys they unveiled yesterday clearly the black throwback that they had, the Dirty Bird jerseys?
Yes, and not only the best, that's the uniforms they should be having. So when I make the take about worse uniforms, I'm excluding that because that was already part of their uniform collection. They just had to throw that in there to save face. But again, you think of them as a good enough throwback, and I'm a big fan of throwbacks. I mentioned that yesterday. Why, knowing that black isn't as gaudy as that creamsicle orange, why can't you look at that and go, that's the uniform? That's what we should be wearing.
You mean the throwback ones?
The throwbacks. Like, it's
exactly.
Not, it's not
yes.
an outrageous
exactly.
throwback. That's
no.
the thing. It's not a lightning bolt
cool.
like, wow, that jars you. It's just a cool, nice, traditional, classic color. I would go as far as to say you wear those throwbacks, you're up there with the uniforms you're talking about with the Bears and the Giants. It's simple. It's perfect.
I would agree. I don't understand why the Falcons wouldn't just wear the throwbacks as their primary jersey, and one of these dopey other ones they unveiled yesterday would be their alternate
right.
jersey, which I hate, but okay, once a year you're going to wear the futuristic jersey, fine. This is the problem with the Falcons. They are inherently, they have two of the coolest jerseys in NFL history. The old school red helmet Dion jerseys, and then these, the Dirty Bird jerseys, these are two of the coolest looks ever, and they've even improved upon the Dirty Birds with white pants instead of the silver pants.
Right.
I think it makes the white of their numbers pop even more, and the black pop even more. So it's so cool. It is so cool. And yet they're going to be wearing those once a year instead of every week, which they should, which just boggles the mind.
And really, it just makes me question one thing, and I honestly don't know the answer to this, and I'd be curious to hear yours. When they sit down in a boardroom and design the jerseys and people have pitches and they pick one, is there ever a conversation of how long do you expect the franchise to wear these jerseys? Because for me, I would kind of look at it like drafting a franchise quarterback. I would expect to have these jerseys as long as humanly possible, where if you're designing these and look at these, I don't know how you look at those and go, all right, they're cool. We'll wear them for a couple of years, and then we'll figure out what we'll switch them up to. Like, I don't know how you look at those and think those are going to be the Falcons jerseys for 20 years.
I think that's a really good point. You can have jerseys for 5 years. That's the minimum. You can't keep changing your jerseys every year. So you have to have a minimum 5 years, which is why we're seeing these rebrands right now, the Browns, the Falcons, the Jaguars just did theirs, the Buccaneers, because all these teams –
right when Nike got the contract 6 years ago, basically, redesigned them, and they're all going, oh, we don't like these anymore. So I think you're right. I think in 5 years, they're going to have to change these again. Yes. And because these don't look like they will stand the test of time. I totally agree. And I think what ends up happening, this is just my guess, but what I think ends up happening is you have what are supposed to be high fashion minds walking into sports. And these sports guys go, well, we know sports and we know football, but we don't know fashion. So we're going to defer to the fashion people. And the fashion people, my guess is, go, well, if we just go back to the throwbacks, we didn't do anything here. We didn't put our stamp on it. Why even bring us in if we're just going to do throwbacks? So we want to modernize your look. And my guess is the fashion people also go, you want a financial bump out of selling more jerseys. If we just go back to the throwbacks that everybody has, you don't get a huge financial bump. So my guess is their priority is we redesign them to look modern because we need that stamp on why we're being paid to do this. And number two, so that you get paid with new jersey sales. But in this case, there's no doubt if there has to be a strong owner, like Arthur Blank should have said, no, you know what? We're not doing this. We're just going to go back to the throwbacks. We're not doing this because this doesn't actually improve the jersey. It just makes us more disappointing. I mean, the reaction that I saw, I don't know about you, on Twitter yesterday was overwhelming disappointment. The Falcons had a chance to do something awesome and punted.
Right. Everybody thought that. I call it the worst collapse in Atlanta sports history, this redesign.
Uh-huh.
I would also say if you're Arthur Blank, you have kept the same orange Home Depot apron and pencil in the years for the last 25 years as the standard uniform. Why is it that Home Depot can keep that traditional uniform and you can't figure out the Falcons? It's a disgrace.
Your thoughts on the Falcons redesign, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Standing by is our good friend and kind sir, Andrew Bogus, who has our headlines this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Guys, good morning. Don't you want to see what the Falcons said no to before arriving
yeah, right.
at what they
yes.
gave us yesterday?
No, that's too ugly. Like, no, that's too garish. No, nobody would go for that. Yes, we'd love the gradient uniforms.
I mean, and I would go for them, you know, going back to your point about like fashion people walking in, I would go with them being ugly because they were trying too hard to be like fashion forward, but like putting ATL above the numbers and the weird red and white stripes underneath their arms down their pants looks like a novice design. Like, that looks like what you get when you're making a team in a video game from scratch.
That's
like,
right.
That's the base jersey you come up with, and the colors just change on where you want to play. Like, there's no expertness. There's no expertise. There's no advanced thought in anything they gave us yesterday. I can't believe that so many people were involved and so much money was spent. And that's what they gave us.
How about that the Carolina Panthers official Twitter feed
no.
retweeted their video of this with a soundtrack of laughter, cackling laughter, and then zoomed into a shot of Adam Sandler in the longest yard, basically clowning them for having jail outfits, that they have basically yep. jail football uniforms.
Hey, the Mean Machine uniforms were far nicer than these Falcon uniforms. That's insulting to Adam Sandler, to be honest.
I mean, there are teams in the division laughing at the Falcons right now.
Your headlines this morning are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Jameis Winston asking for kudos for being replaced by the GOAT Tom Brady in Tampa Bay seems a bit of a stretch, but maybe Bruce Arians could have been nicer to Jameis on his way out the door. Maybe Arians could have talked about Winston the way Matt Rhule talks about Cam Newton.
I think the world of Cam as a person, and everyone knows the type of player that he's been for many, many years. And I hope for his sake that he'll continue to, you know, find that success wherever he ends up.
The new Panthers head coach then explained why Teddy Bridgewater is a better fit for his and Joe Brady's offense in Carolina.
He walks in day one. He knows the verbiage. He knows the concepts. You watch him on tape. He's executing the plays that we're going to run. So you feel really good about that. And then, you know, throughout his career, he's someone that makes everyone else
and
around him better.
And don't forget that P.J. Walker's looming on that Panther depth chart,
yes.
too. Rhule was his head coach at Temple as well. He said yesterday that seven teams were interested in Walker after he tore up the XFL, but he ends up with these Panthers. Former Rams Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews tweeting last night the team has yet to pay them bonuses due last month. Both players still getting that money despite being released for salary cap purposes. Not surprisingly, the team apparently believes it is in compliance with all contractual matters.
I was interested by this story because I almost, when I first read it, I said, wow, is this the first professional sports team to miss payments because of the financial crisis and because of coronavirus? But it's just these two guys were cut and they haven't been paid yet. So this is, it's not about like the entire roster didn't get paid yet. This is just about those two guys that somehow the Rams have delayed a payment on, right?
Right. And Gurley, I guess the issue comes down to partial, like there's deferred language. So Gurley is theoretically getting money soon from the Falcons, although that deal is not official yet. And then that would offset maybe what he's due from the Rams. So maybe that's why they haven't paid him yet, because they're waiting for that Falcon thing to actually be signed, sealed, and delivered.
Gotcha.
But it is interesting that Gurley goes on Twitter last night and goes, hey, by the way, you owe me money, which I would assume would be like the 19th time he's told them that. If his first move was to go to Twitter instead of like having his agent call Kevin Demoff, that's not the best business move. But I do like guys outing their dirty laundry on Twitter. We need things like that these days.
Yeah, that is funny. If Todd Gurley took to Twitter, how many times has he already called the Rams office?
Right. The NFL is planning to raise money and honor healthcare workers during the draft later this month. The money raised will be split among multiple coronavirus charities like the Salvation Army, Feed America, and the Red Cross. The NBA and ESPN reportedly finalizing plans for a televised horse competition.
Ooh.
Chris Paul, Trae Young, Zach LaVine,
oh,
among
that
kind the
of
current
horse.
Players. Involved. Yes, yeah.
Some
NBA alums.
Yeah. I wanted NBA players riding horses.
Do you think Jody Mack goes to the OTB to try to bet this horse competition?
Yeah. I need Trae Young in the six.
I'm looking at Trae Young in the sixth. What do you got? That's not how this works, Jody.
Aqueduct is closed. In regular NBA news, the Bulls are reportedly hiring Nuggets GM Arturis Karnasovas to overhaul their basketball operations.
Yeah.
John Paxson and Gar Hurd are losing their power. Paxson's been running things since 2003. And how about this for some forward thinking? Wimbledon has been paying $2 million a year for the last 17 years for pandemic insurance. So the only club is getting $141 million after canceling this year's event.
The only people that saw this thing coming, somebody obviously at Wimbledon, and they said, you know what, let's be ahead of the curve. And now, look at this, they're cashing in, and everybody else is like, oh, how did this ever happen?
Unbelievable. And then they can never get that again, I would think. All those insurance premiums were going up after all of this nonsense.
Right.
But
yeah,
for 17 years, that was a good investment.
Incredible forward thinking. Thank you, Andrew. When we come back, last night, the final episode of Modern Family, Mraz is all weepy and blubbery over it. So we asked this question, did Ed O'Neill need this for his legacy after Al Bundy? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Value, big upside.
Oh, that's what I wanted to bring up, sir.
Yeah.
The Black Hole. I know them very well. Why isn't Vegas going to allow them to tailgate? I heard about 6 months ago. What is going on? Did you hear about that?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Watch us every single morning at watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking. The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, pressing buttons, pushing levers, or vice versa. You can also watch us inside the radio.com app or on YouTube. The best of clips available there every single morning. Glad you're with us on a fine Thursday. Last night, the final episode of Modern Family, and Mraz, you are just an emotional blubbering mess. I mean, I guess you kind of always are. You always have that element to you. But I mean, now with the quarantine, gosh, are you emotional?
Oh, I am. I haven't seen people. I am a mess. But I got to be honest, last night, Modern Family, I went through a half a box of tissues last night, easily.
You were tweeting about crying during the finale, tweeting about how it represents the timeline of you and your wife's relationship together.
It was the first show that we clicked with. Yeah, absolutely. It was always appointment TV for us. It was something we could come together and watch together. You know me with the passage of time, Damon. You know me.
I do know you, and I didn't think that the final episode of a sitcom was going to make you cry. What was so emotional last night? Spoiler alert, Mraz is going to talk about the end of last night's Modern Family.
Well, no, because I won't spoil how it ended, but it was more just what it signified. They did an hour special before it where they kind of went through the whole series and how it was cast and the little things that you didn't know about it and hearing all the actors talk. And that, like, that's what really got me. And you watch the children on that show and how they grew up and everything that went with the actress that played Haley when she got engaged. Her fiance even asked Claire and Phil Dunphy if they were like, just everybody being family and watching that family grow up. As you know, I watch myself grow up and my family and myself become a dad. It was a representation of the passage of time, and knowing that something like that could end, where we just don't get TV like that in a sitcom form anymore. It's very difficult to do in this era of binge watching. That it was more about the passage of time, and watching everybody on that show get older, I think, really got me to be a blubbery mess last night.
Okay, so Mraz is crying at home last night over Modern Family, but it had us wondering here on the DA show, a little bit more lighthearted. You know, Ed O'Neill, as Jay Pritchett, has a long, successful career on another tremendous sitcom, tremendously successful sitcom. He started his career, obviously, before Married with Children, but Married with Children put him on the map. For 10 seasons, Married with Children was on television, and he played dad Al Bundy. Now, 10 years, he is one of the most iconic TV dads ever, because up until Married with Children, TV dads were largely respectable, teach your children the right ideas, the right messages. They were hardworking. They were there for their families. They were kind of Beaver Cleaver types. And this was the first sitcom dad, the first TV dad that farted, put his hands down his pants, didn't like his wife, hated his kids, gave bad advice. Al Bundy himself, let's face it, Mraz, is one of the most iconic television characters, let alone television dads of all time. Ed O'Neill could have retired with only Married with Children Al Bundy, and he would have been a television icon.
He would have always been remembered, though, as Al Bundy and not Ed O'Neill. That's where he needed Modern Family.
Okay, so he also ends up doing some other films, other movies, other work. He is the reporter in Blue Chip that blows the doors off of Western University and the illegal recruitment. He is also in Wayne's World as Makita's manager, Glenn, the donut guy. He's also in Wayne's World 2. He's in Little Giants as Kevin O'Shea, one of your favorite sports movies.
Yes.
Pee-wee football movie.
Coach of the Cowboys.
And then he ends up on this film years later. This is now about 12 years after he walked away from Married with Children, okay? Married with Children goes off the air in 97. He starts up with Modern Family in 09 and says, I don't want to be part of sitcoms anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And yet they kind of rope him in. And once again, Jay Pritchett is not your common sitcom dad. I mean, this is a guy that also has some lewd comments. He's a guy that makes fun of kids. You know, he plays more of the Al Bundy type than just a straight-laced dad in this.
Yes, and even has to deal with the fact that his son has come out as gay, and it's all about him getting used to that. And, like, he was Al Bundy, but a matured Al Bundy here.
But he still had Al Bundy tendencies.
Yes, he did. There was Al Bundy pumping through his veins.
Because you can't take the Al Bundy out of Ed O'Neill, okay? So, when we come back, I want to talk about whether he needed this for his legacy. Also, an uplifting story with Bryce Weiler of the Beautiful Lives Project. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.